How do trauma-informed biographical timelines bring a whole team together? As a facilitator, David thinks that getting everyone on the same page and continuing to meet regularly after the timeline as a team is one of the most transformative outcomes of the process.
My name is David Long. I'm Behavior Support Coordinator here at Hamilton County Developmental Disability Services. And the whole timeline process and training folks and learning about resiliency is a huge passion of mine because I think at its purest form, it helps staff and those supporting the individuals we serve see people as people, right? I always focus on staff and just saying, you know, just treat people as people and we're going to get through this. We'll be all right. And it helps them see the person for who they are, not what they're doing, mm-hmm. right? And we know that they're doing that to survive and it's, you know, skills that they've gained to survive their environments growing up. And, you know, once the staff or people supporting those folks are able to see them for who they are, not that behavior that they're coming to us for, it really, that's where I see the success, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we see the empathy building with the staff and that really gets the buy-in.
Yeah, so a way to kind of separate some of the outside actions that the person might be engaging in or that not defining that person by the way that they're acting, but looking at them as a whole person.
Yeah, yep. It kind of gets them away from that blame and shame mentality, right? And mm-hmm. and helping them kind of go down into that space with that person and just be with them.
Yeah. Yeah, the presence part.
Yes.
Being present. So why do you think timelines are an important part of getting there, of getting to that human place with a person?
In my experience, I think, well, timelines are hugely important because, again, it helps those supporting the folks that we're serving just see where these folks are coming from, and it builds that sense of empathy, right? It takes them from beyond just that surface level, what is this person doing, to why are we seeing this? And I've just seen staff's mindset transform from the time we walk through that door to go into that timeline to the time we're leaving, and everybody's on the same page and there's this community, and then they feel a sense of community with the person that they're supporting. And really, it's just that empathy building time that really makes it successful. And then it also gives those supporting input on the strategies that we're going to use to support this person. So it gives them a little bit more buy-in in that sense as well.
Okay. So having this idea around, like, this is not something that I'm being told to do because it's my job, but I was part of the process of determining what this person's journey to resilience is going to look like.
Absolutely. Staff and those supporting individuals that we work with often know them on a daily basis far better than, you know, David Long walking through the door to do a timeline, right? So when, you know, if I just write down a list of strategies and I go train them on it, you know, I've seen like, well, this guy doesn't know them like I do. Why is he telling me, you know, how to support this person? But when you give them that chance to buy in and sit and listen to them and, you know, honor everything that they have to say, it creates this whole new sense of buy-in and camaraderie as a team for sure.
That seems like a pretty different approach than what's been done over the years, is to say, yeah, this is the behavior plan and mm-hmm. this is the protocol we're following, and the timeline actually busts that up and says, no, here are all these different options that you could choose from. What makes the most sense?
Right. I think, you know, give them that chance to, you know, how are you feeling, and, you know, what do you want to do about this? What mm-hmm. do you think this person needs? Mm-hmm. Just giving them that space. Again, it changes the whole mindset of the team.
Right. It seems like it would draw on different people's strengths in the room mm-hmm. as well, so they can opt into the things that they think they would actually enjoy and be best at. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're going to try to build on it. If you're in a room and, you know, something that we think we can do that might build resiliency in a person draws on another person's passion, yeah, let's engage on that.
Right.
Right. If the person responsible for that intervention isn't passionate about that, you know, it's... the success, you know, is very questionable at that point. The longevity of it, the, you know, the depth of that intervention, right? But if yeah. that person's passionate about it, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to go above and beyond, and it's, you know, it's going to be something they enjoy doing. It's not going to be a burden to that person.
Right. And it's a good expectation to have for people who are staff in a person's life. So we can be realistic in these situations and say, okay, well, here are the different things and who's going to really carry this the best.
And I can use those times too. Like, you know, if you picked up on something, if one person offered something throughout the meeting, you know, trying to keep that in my brain, like, y'all, so-and-so seemed very passionate about, you know, this idea or this concept or this activity, right? Drawing back on that during kind of the interventions part of the timeline. And honoring, like, you know, how they seem so passionate about that seems to, like, perk up their confidence. And saying, would you be willing to, you know, follow through with this? And I've seen a lot of buy-in created that way too, because you're honoring that person for sharing, honoring their passion, and then saying, hey, that could be a gift in the situation.
You know, there's something about the refreshing way of approaching work as well, when it's something that you can show up for and you're like, man, I really enjoy this. You know, this is something that I'm good at, I'm passionate about, I helped create.
Yeah, so, you know, the focus, you know, we go through the mileage plan process and things like that. And staff often feel like their job is to drive somebody, you know, from point A to point B. You know, we're going to drive them to the grocery store. We're going to help them get groceries. We're going to help them get their medications, right? But being a direct care staff is so much more than that, right? We have that, you know, 8 hours, 12 hours a day to really build into a person and engage them on a personal level. So when you can engage a staff in something that they're passionate about and care about, I mean, obviously that's going to bring a whole new energy to their time with that person, and you know, creates a conversation between the two and creates that bond that we're not seeing otherwise.
Yeah, it's a relationship versus I'm your staff and you're my client.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, not a kind of almost a friendship, right? Like, cause we do certain things with certain friends, and you know, a lot of times I'll create not schedules but routines for folks. You know, they may know that, you know, if Fred's coming in, you know, he's gonna be my staff that day. Well, Fred and I have this extra great connection on this one activity. You know, it might be going to the gym. You know, then they know when Fred comes, they're gonna go to the gym, and Fred and, you know, whoever they're serving has that connection that day, and they can talk about it and plan it, and it just creates a whole new level that.
Right. I think that piece is important. And does that come out of the timeline to kind of focus in on who else can be in this person's life? Who are the positive, safe people that can be there?
You know, it turns into, you know, what is this person interested in? What do they need, right? Where can we meet that need? And then whoever's there might share the same interests or passions as the individual we're serving. And that's, you know, having things in common is what we want to build on with folks, as it turns into a more genuine relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that brings out the positive parts of whoever the person is, because it's focusing in on, okay, what are their strengths and interests? What does that look like in relationship with other people?
Exactly. Because in behavior support, what I've found is most successful is to get the people that we serve engage in something that they're passionate about, give them that purpose, that sense of belonging, that agency. And when you do that, I mean, we just see success that we never thought possible. Right?
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that's so critical or such a difference in the way that they've been receiving care, or such a difference in their lives?
It gives them a sense of purpose and a sense of, you know, agency, right? A sense of belonging, a sense of value, everything that we want and we need ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like a fundamental need.
Absolutely.
That gets forgotten and missed.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay. How do you build the capacity of the people in the room to be trauma responsive, to be on a new page, on a same page as a team? How do you build that capacity?
It is empathy for each person in the room. It is understanding that each person is experiencing their own feelings, and sometimes that brings out their own experiences that they're kind of reliving as you go through the timeline. And then at the end, where we kind of ask, you know, how is everyone feeling? And then we kind of talk about mirror neurons and how, you know, what we're feeling is likely how the individual that we're you know, discussing on the timeline is feeling. It gives people an aha. Like, you know, it really, it makes them want to be trauma responsive to help that person continue to grow in their resiliency and overcome some of the things that they've experienced in the past.
And then it's
coming together regularly afterwards. You know, I work with one young lady who we had staff on a lot of different pages. And so we just started having like pizza meetings, you know, in the evenings. We would get together at, you know, 6:30 at night. We would have LaRosa's brought in. But we listen to staff, you know, what's working, what's not working. And then we would go through a piece of the strategies that we wanted to work on over that next, you know, month, quarter, whatever the time frame was. And let them talk about how they saw that playing out, and giving them again that sense of buy-in, which helped them kind of grow their confidence. Yeah, a lot of times it's self-awareness and letting the staff that would come to that meeting would talk about kind of what their triggers were in these situations and kind of helping them walk through that. Okay, then how do you deal with that, and what can you do to kind of step back and realize that it's not personal? It's not a, you know, what you're seeing on their, you know, behalf isn't about you or what you're doing. It's about, you know, what they've experienced and kind of taking them out of that and letting them look at it from a bigger picture.
And not only that, but yeah, that the maybe so that they don't feel like maybe they're doing a bad job.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and then it's them coming, you know, what do you need from me? What do you need from us? Right. And we're here to support you. So that we can support them better.
Yeah.
And it really, we met for probably about, I'd say 9 months on a routine basis. And then really staff kind of were able to buy in and really kind of understand the strategies that we were working through. And we kind of backed off of the meetings that things were going so well.
Yeah.
Just from giving them that time to voice themselves.
Can you give any examples of what staff had to do in order to kind of address their own triggers and move through things on their own before they could support the person?
In particular, this person would just say things, one staff in particular, that would trigger a certain staff and it would become an argumentative...
Between the two staff people?
No, between the staff and the individual served.
Okay.
Yeah, it would become an argumentative situation because they were feeling attacked personally, and really just kind of sitting there and listening to them talk about, you know, why what was being said was triggering to them, and then providing them, you know, through the timeline with examples of where this has happened in the past, way before they knew that person.
Yeah.
Right? And being like, you know, it's really not about you because we can see here that this was happening to this person.
Mm-hmm.
And just giving them that awareness was able to kind of help them remove how they felt from that situation.
Yeah.
And like, what can I do to really support this person here?
Does it ever happen that a person kind of draws out their own timeline in their head and say, you know what, my mom used to say that to me and that's why it really hurts? Or they're able to kind of identify in their lives where that trigger began.
In this situation, that person in particular didn't go into that depth with me. I do believe that, you know, they didn't bring out any examples, but I do believe that there was an incident in the past that kind of stemmed that feeling. But I have had staff in the past say, yeah, you know what, like this happened to me, my mom, my dad, like this is my family environment.
Yeah.
And this is where I have, you know, this is why this is a trigger for me.
Right. Yeah. And it's again, back to the idea of these mirror neurons and being able to understand where a person's coming from when they've gone through something tough. And because we've all gone through things that are tough, and some might even be similar to the person whose timeline is being done. Is there ever a conversation around that?
Yeah. So usually in the beginning, we'll talk about, you know, how this is going to be, you know, very emotion provoking, how if it becomes tough for you or you're re-experiencing, please feel free to step out. Right. And then it's that whole reflect on or connect with that person sharing.
Yeah.
And then offering a safe space, you know, afterwards, you know, if you would like to, you know, meet, talk, anything that person needs to kind of overcome their own thoughts and feelings there, you know, I would just make sure I offered.
Yeah. You said there's a lot of follow-up to a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
As that follow-up is kind of going on and you're meeting on a monthly basis with the team, what's the difference that you start to see being made? What is, like, I guess, the best outcome that you can start to see happening over time?
Again, it's the sense of camaraderie. It's a sense of team that is developed at that time because everybody's got a piece that they're responsible for. And nobody, you know, nobody ever wants to let the team down. So people are following through. And then people are putting their best foot forward. People have this new sense of empathy about what the people we serve have experienced. And again, it just creates that buy-in. We're part of a team and we all come together holistically. You know, we've got a lot covered and, you know, I'm not master of all trades, but I'm really passionate about this one thing and we can really connect on this level. And that makes a huge difference in people's lives.